This morning we have two scripture readings. We're going to be reading Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, and then Luke chapter 3, 21 through 23a. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Luke. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for the reading, Dennis. I invite you to now pray with me and those at home too. Let us pray together and ask God to speak to each and every one of us this morning. Lord our God, thank you for your word and thank you for this opportunity to meet in person or online. We are just grateful to gather as a body of believers. Lord, I ask that as we are gathered, that you will take away the distractions, that you will remove the obstacles, and that your Spirit will just open our hearts and our minds to receive your message for us this morning. In grateful anticipation, we pray to you through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I want you to think about this. There is someone here today, or there's someone in your life, or there's someone who's logged on to be with us in worship online who may be silently enduring some terrible trouble and pain. How can we help them to feel God's presence at their side? On our liturgical calendar, we today remember the baptism of our Lord Jesus. It's not like Christmas or Easter, but from the earliest days, it's been central to the church's tradition. And we typically do so on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And Jesus' baptism is really where we begin to recount the story of his life and his ministry. As a matter of fact, it's such an important story that all four Gospels tell it in one way or another. And so before Jesus does anything as a teacher and a healer, he hikes up his robe and he scrambles down the muddy riverbank and he wades into the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Why? I mean, why does he do it? He's God's son. Why must the sinless Son of God receive this powerful symbol of repentance and new life? I mean, is he not himself the very source, the wellspring of new life that is promised in the waters of baptism? So some theologians will explain that Jesus doesn't need to be baptized, but he lets his cousin push him down under the muddy water purely for our sake. That's like saying, Well, Jesus is like a swimming teacher standing dry as a bone by the side of the pool, modeling the breaststroke for the shivering group of kids standing chest deep in the water. So he's modeling repentance. He's not actually doing it. I think that kind of misses the point. Because what Jesus is doing and what he's receiving from John that day was not a Christian baptism. It was a Jewish baptism. And for them, the pathway into any life of serious religious discipline leads through water. Just like the Israelites, remember, of old, passed through the Red Sea. So any serious believer must do the same. Now, what's interesting about the Jewish people and water is that they certainly don't have any great maritime traditions. Not like the Vikings in their dragon ships or the ancient Irish in their seal skin kayaks, or like the Portuguese merchants who fought wind and waves as they rounded the Cape of Good Hope on their way to the Indies. The Jewish nation never tried to rule the waves. They had a sea coast, but no great desire to venture out onto the Mediterranean Sea. The only Jewish seafaring we kind of read about in the Bible is fishing boats bobbing on the Sea of Galilee, always in sight of dry land. Because you see, the ancient Jews were a desert people. In the very early days, they were nomadic herders of sheep and goats. And water, frankly, terrified them. Our kids, I mean, they don't have any issue going off a diving board to execute a perfect cannonball. But the people John the Baptist converted waded into the Jordan River with trepidation. Because to lose your footing and go under the water was to flirt with death itself. And I don't know if this is why, you know, so many Christians have come to view the sacrament of baptism as a kind of spiritual insurance policy. I mean, we don't teach that. We don't teach that baptism is ever an emergency. But it seems like plenty of new parents instinctively think otherwise. The sooner the baby gets baptized, the better, they think, because you never know what could happen, or you just don't. Now, we say that baptism conveys an indelible mark, that those who pass through the waters of baptism are marked forever as children of God. And so if that's the case, then wouldn't it make sense to assume that the Lord keeps a special eye out for those displaying such a mark, the mark of baptism? It does. We believe that baptism is the sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. But that does not mean that those of us who are baptized and have later confirmed the baptismal vows our parents made for us when we were still babies, that we are promised an easier road than other human beings. Baptism does convey a promise of eternal life by the grace of Christ, but it doesn't mean that we receive a special certificate of protection from earthly perils and problems and pain. I'm always struck, you know, by the rows and rows and rows of gravestones in Arlington National Cemetery, if you get that picture in your mind. Those straight lines of gravestones from whatever direction you look at, right? Almost 400,000 veterans and eligible dependents are buried at Arlington. Thousands and thousands and thousands of those buried there are baptized Christians. Christians who died in action. Their baptism was no insurance policy. Didn't protect them from the bullets or the grenades or the IEDs. Baptism does not mean you will receive a special certificate of protection in this life. Which brings me to our passage from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. The prophet tells us what baptism does promise during our life on this earth. Doesn't mention the Christian sacrament, of course, because it's before Christ. But it does speak about the experience of passing through the waters and of where we can trust God to be as we do so, as we go through times of difficulty and hardship. And so it says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." So God says, when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Why would God say such a thing to us? Because, says God in verse 4, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. God says, I will be with you because I love you and because you're very, very dear to me. I've called you by name. I've redeemed you. When you pass through rough waters, I will be with you. And so as Isaiah shares these words with the Jewish nation, they recall how Moses led their ancestors through the waters of the Red Sea to freedom from slavery in Egypt. And this memory means even more to them because at this time they are exiles in Babylon. They haven't voyaged across waves of a vast ocean, but they have crossed oceans of sand to reside in a miserable ghetto at the beck and call of their foreign overlords. And there, in their worst moments, they feel just as abandoned. And maybe their hope of returning to the promised land is but a distant dream to them now. But Isaiah won't abandon that promise. And so he reassures them that the day will come when the Lord will lead them back through the fearsome waters once again. But this time, they go in the opposite direction. They go home. And God promised to be very close to them as they return home. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you're in over your head, I'll be right there with you. So listen, today as we as we remember the baptism of our Lord Jesus, I want to encourage you to kind of remember your own baptism and what it means. Maybe it's been many, many, many years ago, and it's but a distant memory to you. Remember, the Lord may not promise in baptism to shield you from the ordinary sufferings of this life. And you've probably figured that out by now. What God does promise, though, is to be with us, to be close at hand as we endure the sufferings of this life. The Lord never promises that we won't get our feet wet, but God does declare that the waters will never rise up in a tsunami and smash us into eternal oblivion, spiritually speaking. And what God is saying is, I promise to accompany you through this life. And I promise to accompany you even onward to the life beyond. And that is a powerful source of comfort and strength for all of us. The fact that God will accompany us. Now we can look at this word, you know, accompany, in two ways. The first is the sense of one person walking alongside another. When someone is walking by your side. And Isaiah's promise is that God accompanies us, walking beside us in just that way. But we find the second sense of the word accompany when we talk about the way God accompanies us within that larger word. Because you see, we, the baptized, are members of a larger community. We are members of the church. We are part of the body of Christ, the body of Christian believers. It's through the sacrament of baptism that we enter into that company. And what this means is that as we encounter rough patches in life, there are other pilgrims. There are other travelers around us as we make this journey through life. There are Christian friends to catch us when we stumble and fall. When we go through seasons of heartache and loss, there are sisters and brothers who have pledged to walk alongside us, to share some of their own strength with us. Whenever someone gets baptized in our church, in the Reformed Church, there is this moment when the congregation is asked to rise. And then the members of the congregation promise to love, encourage, and support those who are welcomed into God's family through baptism. To give them the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service. It's something you've all promised somewhere along your journey. There's an old story, you know, about a woman who was living through the aching pain of bereavement. And she kept coming to church during a time of grief, but she would just stand there with the hymnal in her hands, not singing. And so a good friend noticed this and said to her, I see you're not singing, and I also know how much you love to sing. Why don't you just try to join in? It'll make you feel better. I'm sorry, she said, the bereaved woman, but I just can't sing right now. I'm sure I will eventually. But for now, I know that the church is singing the hymns for me. And that's a great source of comfort. The church is singing the hymns for me. You see, our Heavenly Father promises to be with us as we pass through the waters. And a significant part of the way he accomplishes that is through each one of us. Week after week, as we gather as God's people in person or online, we don't just come to worship for individual inspiration. It's part of why we come, yes, but it's not the only reason. We don't just come to receive. We also come to give, to be a witness to faith, Your presence is important to others as well. When we, you know, week after week after week come together as a Christian community, when we pray and when we sing and when we offer up our gifts, we do it for God, but it's also a ministry to others. It's a witness to faith. And it just may be that someone else sitting either beside us or behind us or in front of us, or even seeing our name pop up in the online comments feed, is silently in pain and is enduring some terrible trouble. And much of the time, you know, we really have no way of knowing this. And maybe like the woman who in her bereavement said, right now the church is singing the hymns for me. Those who see us worship will find some comfort and inspiration and hope and renewed faith as we engage in worship. Maybe sometimes we have to sing on their behalf. And maybe we sometimes have to pray on their behalf. And sometimes we have to believe on their behalf. That's why it's important for us to gather here in worship, to join with one another online. It is to join with God in His work of accompanying His people. It is to remind one another that God is with us. And it's to remind those who might be suffering in silence that when they pass through rough waters, God is beside them. And we are walking alongside them as well. As those who have been baptized, we worship a God who accompanies us and promises us, I will be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the waters of baptism that we passed through as we entered into your family. Thank you for the vows we made and the vows that those in the congregation made to love one another and support one another. Thank you for your promise that no matter how hard the challenges are we face, how difficult the situations are, how deep the pain is that we're experiencing, that you promise us that I will be with you, that you will accompany us, walk alongside us as we travel through this life. And thank you for the body of believers, the church, and that you use each and every one of us to help you in that work of accompanying us through life as we are there for one another. And as we sometimes just serve as a visible reminder that you are with us, and that we continue to believe and worship you as our God. I pray for those who are maybe silently suffering this morning. May they indeed be encouraged to see that there are other people who continue to worship and lift you up and are there to pray for them and even believe for them when it's necessary. I pray that you would bless all of us. In the precious name of Jesus, our baptized Lord, amen.